Ambassador Edwards, thank you for joining us from Tashkent.
My pleasure.
Could you explain the reasons why your mission has been a limited one? We also know that the OSCE, your office specifically, conducts unlimited observing missions, right?
Well, it depends. You know, we have many missions to field every year and in different places. So we usually send a mission out that's called an assessment mission to see what is most appropriate in what circumstance. And here, since the end of the year and the end of the budget, and we decided that here the emphasis should be particularly on analyzing important aspects of the election, such as the legal framework and the other legal requirements, the role of the media, which can all be done by a core team in the center of the country. So there was less of a need, we felt, for a massive coverage of the polling stations, apart from the fact that we would not have the possibility to mobilize so many people at the end of the year.
So the Uzbek government would have been fine if you, let's say, had an unlimited mission?
I guess so. We have not even discussed that, because from the findings of that assessment mission, which we sent about 2 months ago, the recommendation was to send a strong core team and have some teams in the field. In fact, we have four teams fielded, each of two each. That was felt to be an optimum composition of the mission for these particular elections.
Looking back at the process, what could you and what you couldn't do as an observer in these elections?
Well, basically, we could do everything. We have been given ample cooperation, particularly from the election administration, such as the Central Election Commission. So we have been able to really study the files and the issues, and we have been talking left, right, and center. So we have not really been impeded, if that is what you think. We have not been impeded in our work. Sometimes it's a bit difficult to get a particular document, and it may take some time to get an appointment. But generally, I have to compliment the way in which we were enabled to do our work.
What was the timeline like? Where do you start usually, and where do you end when you observe elections?
Yeah, we start usually a month, as we did now, ahead of the elections, in order to prepare ourselves and to get focused on the right issues. And then after the election day itself, we of course come out with a preliminary statement of findings and observations, but then the work is by far not finished. We then take another 8 weeks sometimes, we hope to do it in a little less this time, to come out with the final report, which gives in detail the findings, but which also formulates a whole series of recommendations for further improvements of the electoral system, the electoral climate, and the electoral process in general. So that is probably the most important and the most lasting effect of our work, this body of recommendations. And we hope that the authorities and the election committee and others will take those recommendations seriously and will adopt the necessary measures, which in quite a few cases require legal steps, legal amendments, and what have you.
Based on your assessment, Ambassador Edwards, you just mentioned the Central Election Commission in Uzbekistan. How independent is this body now in the country?
Formally, it is an independent body because, thanks to a constitutional amendment, it has been given this full autonomy, full independence. It's no longer dependent on parliament or government. So it has almost a free rein, at least legally speaking. To what extent that is actually practiced, that is not so easy for us to observe. But as far as we have dealt with them. This happened in, as I mentioned earlier, in full openness and cooperation, and there was no sign of them being instructed by others. So that independent role, we have no reason to question it at this point.
One of your main conclusions is that there was no genuine competition. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, that is, of course, a very serious observation. While we have seen that the organization of the elections was pretty smooth and proceeded orderly, there is, of course, the fact of some basic requirements not being in place for elections to be truly up to international OSC standards and, in fact, also national law. And those basic concerns refer to media freedom. We did not think that the media really facilitated a thorough and genuine exchange and debate. And that has partly to do, of course, with legal provisions that make it very difficult for media not to engage in what you could call self-censorship, because there are prohibitions on the spread of information, so-called false information, and defamation provisions that are very restrictive, and that almost surely leads to this self-censorship. On the other hand, we also feel that another basic concern has to be addressed, and that is the climate of competitiveness among the political actors. The four contesting parties are, as we say, more complementary than competitive. So real, genuine choice in alternative views and programs is not really in place. And we would certainly like to see more pluralism in the political environment. Again, the four parties are very similar in the sense that they are supported by the government, they're supportive of the government, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not much of a spectrum of alternatives here.
Ambassador Everts, you have observed many elections around the world. We know that you observed elections here in the United States too, for example, in 2012. In your recommendations, you say that some specific steps should be taken to provide voters in Uzbekistan with real electoral choices. Who should take those steps?
Well, there are, of course, a series of steps to be taken. And let me also make sure that is not unique for Uzbekistan. We have, in any country where we work, there, we will always come up with recommendations for improvement, because nowhere there are perfect elections. But speaking of the elections here, there are some very basic issues to be addressed. As I mentioned, the freedom of expression and freedom of association, they are critical for really good quality elections. So those are important recommendations, and they have to be taken at the highest level, parliamentary level. But there is a host of other recommendations that could also be looked into and adopted. And to mention one, there was, of course, widespread proxy voting, people voting for other persons. That is not in line with the electoral law and international commitments and practices. Even the president has mentioned that this is something that should not be engaged in. Now, here the law could be somewhat sharpened, although it is on the books, but for instance, voter education would help, and the instruction of election commissions in the polling stations should help. So here is a role that is not so difficult to implement by the authorities to be serious about the prohibition of proxy voting. Now, so there are a number of major and some more minor recommendations that could be adopted. We will recommend them, and they need the help and the action at the parliamentary level, but some of them can be taken at lower administrative levels. So I recommend, of course, you and everyone interested in better elections in the future to look at this final report, because we will no doubt have a series of recommendations to offer.
You have observed elections in Uzbekistan before, or was this the first time?
Not myself, but I am just a pawn in the game. You know, Odihr is the great actor, and of course they have been here before, and as they have been in all countries of the OSCE, ranging from Vancouver to Vladivostok, basically. So we are everywhere. But I myself, I've been on many missions, but I haven't had the pleasure yet of being here before. And I can tell you, it was a great experience.
Well, I'm sure you have seen the reports on those previous elections. Has anything changed? Any improvements or backsliding, if we were to compare it with the with the previous?
Well, it's difficult, and we usually don't engage in comparing with before, because we assess elections as they are in the light of the international and OSCE commitments. But it's told to us by many people, and also credible people, that yes, some changes have been introduced that could be steps, small steps, towards further democratization. That has to be, of course, seen how it is played out. But some changes have been made in the legal framework. Some administrative measures have been adopted in the same direction. And so we'll have to see. But let me repeat the main concerns regarding the quality of the elections, those have not yet been addressed. And that, I think, is something that should be high on the future agenda.
Well, when we criticize the Uzbek government for not giving a bigger or wider role for non-governmental, real non-governmental organizations, we're very quickly reminded by the authorities that there are thousands of civil society groups inside the country. Have you noticed any, I guess, proactive role by them in this process? Did you see the Uzbekistan-based non-governmental organizations making a difference?
Yeah, we have, of course, looked in that area. Frankly, we have not seen much proactive stance on the part of NGOs. There are also no NGOs that are really set up, created for this purpose. No, there was no activity, NGO activity observed that would in any way be contributing to better elections. On that score, again, we think Uzbekistan would benefit if there was a better climate for NGO development, because they do help in many other countries the transparency of the process and the accountability. So they have a very useful role to play. I may add, because you were asking about the parties also, that we did note, and that's on a positive note, I guess, that they all have nominated many new and younger candidates. In fact, candidates who have, as it were, grown up after independence. And we are told, and we have no reason to not believe this, that could change somewhat the parliamentary dynamics. And could be, again, something that may bode well.
We know that a few hundred of Uzbek citizens abroad also voted during the elections. For example, many Uzbeks here in America went to the consulate in New York, to the embassy here in Washington, and voted. Do you think that made a difference? How seriously do you think that was taken into account?
Well, a few hundred won't make a difference, but and we feel that the number of registered voters abroad is very low and way below the estimated number of eligible voters abroad, because that must run into the millions according to most authoritative sources.
Yep.
So here is a big gap between the number of the voters abroad and those actually registered. Now, we don't know what happened to that bulk, whether they are still on the voter lists here in the country or not. Probably many are, but here is an area of uncertainty. And again, we recommend that this should be cleared up.
There is no absentee voting process. I'm sure you know about that, because we did ask the authorities.
Yeah.
Because not everybody can come to the consulate, right? In countries like Russia, for example, where you have millions
right.
of Uzbeks residing. So they have to be close
yeah.
physically to the place where they can vote.
Absolutely, yeah.
We're expecting presidential yeah. elections this year in March. Is your office going to observe that? Do you have any plans?
That I don't know. We can, of course, only come when we are welcome. So we have to be invited in order to come back. I don't know. You will have to check with the authority. I think our role is well respected here. They know that we are a very serious organization. We are, after all, the prime international election observation organization. We're the only one, I think, who come with real thorough analysis of all the various aspects of elections. So if you want to be serious about elections and election observation, I think you should normally invite ODIHR. But whether this will be the case, we will have to see. And we have to see whether ODIHR also has the capacity, given competing demands, to field the mission.
Well, as you just said, observing elections this year is business. How do you hire your observers? How does the team come together?
The team is, the core team, is recruited from a long roster of people with tested expertise, legal expertise, media expertise, and so forth, and election expertise, of course. So that's the core team. Then the observers in the field, the so-called long-term observers, they are also coming from national rosters, and they are being seconded by national governments. And so we have, from all countries of the OECD, we have these people being seconded. But in general, you can say no one in an OECD mission is there without very thorough experience and serious backgrounds.
Will it be accurate to say that your team was actually the only professional observing team, despite the fact that there were close to, 300 foreign observers,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Well, you will never hear me say and qualify any other organizations. I leave it up to you to compare and to see what is serious and what is less serious. But I can speak for ourselves. We are doing a very professional job, and also a very constructive job. We should not be seen as people who are just trying to debunk and criticize. No, we don't. We look at the elections, the whole process in their totality, in a very nonpartisan, professional manner. And naturally, that leads to certain positive appraisals, certain more critical comments, but always offered in a friendly, cooperative, constructive spirit.
Have you had meetings with the Central Election Commission and others about your report?
No, we will, of course. We will have soon more meetings with them before we leave. Then we prepare our final report, and possibly we will come back to present that and discuss the recommendations with the Central National Election Commission and others concerned. So the follow-up is an issue of interest, of course, and we are more than prepared to be on standby to further assist.
When should we expect your final report?
I guess we will try to make an effort to do this quick. It should be in the course of January. Okay. I hope before the end of January.
Well, we'll look forward to reading it. Thank you so much for talking to us, Ambassador Everts.
Well, it was certainly a welcome opportunity. Thank you very much.
We appreciate your time. Thank you.